Welcome to this week's episode of Bright Slap. This is our second podcast with your hosts, Jim
and Gian.
And this week we're going to talk about what we're currently watching, not just anime, but we've been also watching television. And also, we will be continuing our Antarctic Treaty, where we'll be covering Initial D and Strike with G.
Alright, so I guess we'll start things off with a little warm-up. So, Jim, so what have you been watching lately?
Okay, in terms of just general stuff that I enjoy watching, this week I watched Valentine's Day. My friend Bullboy loaned it to me, and he told me it was alright, so I gave it a shot.
What'd you think?
It was like America's, like, Love Actually was England's, like, masterpiece in terms of romantic comedy. So, this is America's attempt at a Love Actually. And it wasn't that bad, but honestly, I'd give it like a D+, just because a lot of the stories weren't fleshed out as much, and I was so annoyed by the high school stories. The girl who tries to have sex with a girl for
another girl.
No, my bad. The girl who tries to have sex with her boyfriend.
Okay.
And like the boyfriend's pressuring her, of course, and the two Taylor Swift's character and the dude from Twilight, Taylor something. Those guys were annoying. I wanted to punch them. So, well, surprisingly enough, Ashton Kutcher's character and his story, I wasn't annoyed with. His was the best story of all. Because he's the one that sort of linked everybody together.
Uh-huh.
And his character wasn't that annoying. He was a pretty
guy. He's actually not that bad of an actor. I know people, I think, typecast him. They typecast him into the stupid...
like, douchey guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just looks kind of douchey. But his character, and I'm sure as a person, he's pretty cool. But... in this movie, he's not that bad. And George Lopez as well. I don't like him as much. I think he's sort of like a one-trick pony in terms of comedy. But in this movie, he was very tolerable, and both him and Ashton Kutcher were pretty awesome in this movie. Everybody else, they had such good actors and actresses in this film. It's just the storyline wasn't... Yeah, it just wasn't pieced together properly. It felt odd in some places.
Well, when I saw the previews for it, I just felt like they were just marketing it because they have all these stars. It's like, here are big names. Watch it because of these people. And
exactly.
I felt like the story was going to suck, which is why I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, and there's only one story worth watching, and I guess it's Ashton Kutcher's story because he links everybody together. Otherwise, everybody else just has little snippets, and I didn't really care for it, so eh. Valentine's
okay.
Day.
So, what else have you been watching?
I also checked out Glee. The season finale was on Tuesday. I was really looking forward to that. So, if you're not on the Glee bandwagon, I don't think Gian is, but he saw the episode.
Yeah, I actually did watch the episode because I wanted just to listen to music. So, I was...
Yeah, and you listened to the right episode, dude. It's the Journey episode. So.
Oh, the thing I loved is the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, man,
and even
that
though,
was awesome.
Yeah, and I know I just realized that they were their rivals, like, later on in the show.
Yeah.
I was like, man, of course, well, I predicted it. Spoilers if you're watching, if you watch Glee, but yeah, they did not win. And I kind of predicted that, even though I haven't seen any episode whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And
so I was saying the same thing, like, when my friends and I have a couple of, female friends that love Glee and we talk about it. So when they were telling me, what do you think is going to happen in the season finale, I told them that, oh, they're going to lose. And they told me, what? And I said, well, of course they're going to lose. They're the underdogs, right? If they keep winning, they're not going to be the underdogs anymore, and they're just going to become what Vocal Adrenaline is, which is the rival Glee Club. And, you know, it's going to be hard to cheer for them. So they have to lose to get a reality check and to up their game for next season. Because if the series didn't get renewed for another season, then they would win. But since there is going to be a season 2 for Glee,
they're definitely gonna lose.
It's best that they lose and they just get better through next season. And even though that, for me, it was predictable that was going to happen, I just applied everything that I learned about sports manga.
Yeah,
which is pretty funny.
If I can watch one episode without having seen any episode whatsoever, and I just predicted everything. It's a formula, and you just have to be able to recognize that.
Yeah, having watched a lot of visual entertainment, you sort of develop this kind of spider sense where you could feel where a story's heading without really having to see the ending. Like, I predicted Avatar. I'm sure a lot of people did. And I knew exactly what was going to happen. So in terms of Glee, even though I predicted the whole scenario, it was still great for me. I love the music. They did a whole Journey tribute. And the season as a whole is really solid. I thought it had really nice drama, very mature themes in a high school setting, which surprised me. I thought it was going to be a High School Musical Part 2, but in reality, it's not. Better. They actually have a really funny joke where one of my friends keeps mentioning it, where one of the girls is throwing up in the girls' bathroom, and then one of the female counselors walks in and says, "Oh, are you throwing up?" And she goes, "Yeah, I just, you know, I have, I don't have a gag reflex." And the female counselor goes, "That's a gift later on in life." And that's already, if you don't get the joke, just put the pieces together right there. So there's a lot of mature stuff in that show, and I think a lot of people can dig it if they give it a chance. It just has that campy feel that I think prevents people from attempting to watch the show. So, yeah, season finale. Looking forward to season two.
Maybe I'll end up checking out the first season eventually.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
I think you'll dig it. You might laugh at the corniness in the beginning.
Oh, no, I'm sure I will. And I think they're actually going to replay everything during the summer.
Oh, yeah.
There was a commercial of it.
Every Thursdays.
Glee Thursday.
So that's what I've been watching in terms of non-anime stuff. So anything for you on your end?
The only thing I've been watching as of late is Kenichi. History's Strongest Disciple. I think the English is actually the Demise Disciple Kenichi.
Yeah.
I finally finished it. I actually wrote a review on the website. If you guys are interested, you can read that. But I guess a basic rundown is it's another underdog story, because of course that's the only way. It'll be boring if he was
a genius.
Yeah, and it's I guess the best way I can describe it is like one of the most generic a shonen anime stories, but at the same time, it's
really enjoyable.
It pulls it off perfectly, and
it pulls the formula.
That's what it matters. Because if you think about it, every story now, it's formula based. It's just how you pull it off, and Kenichi executed very well. Basic rundown: like I said, an underdog story. It's about Kenichi Shirihama. He meets like a mysterious girl after school named Miyu.
A new exchange student.
Yeah, she was a new exchange student, and like one day after school, she ends up stopping some Yakuza gang members.
Yeah.
Kenichi first tried to stop them, but of course he's gonna fail because he's kind of
a weakling.
Yeah, he's the weakling. He doesn't know how to fight, but Miyu just takes him out, and he's amazed. Of course, who wouldn't? And he actually he wants to become stronger, his goal is to protect the weak.
Mm-hmm.
A typical anime character, he wants to do good. So he ends up joining a Miyu's dojo and learns how to, fight.
And it's spearheaded by all these masters of different disciplines, and
they kind
of
put him through.
I get a kick out of watching all of them interact, especially Appa-chai.
Yeah, they put him through kind of like hellish training. It's kind of ridiculous what they put him through. Like, for one thing, there's this one training thing his master puts him through. Basically, they attach a tire around Kenichi's waist, and the master sits on the tire, and Kenichi's forced to run around the whole town.
Yeah, drag him
around the master.
The entire town.
Yeah.
There's another one where he has to run this treadmill. I think it's later on, in the second season. Doesn't he have to run a treadmill to power up a massage machine?
Yeah, and massage is one of the masters.
Yeah, so it's really hilarious. There's a lot of comedy in this series that I enjoy. I haven't seen the last half of season two.
Yeah, I'll probably give that to you later.
Yeah.
And the story for this was actually in Anime Expo 2009 when we first heard about Kenichi.
Went to the Funimation.
Yeah, like I said, when I was watching the previews, I thought this was the most generic anime. I thought this was going to be crap. But they ended up showing it on the Funimation channel I have on cable, and I just started watching it, and I was just amazed how much I enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up buying all 50 episodes, so...
Yeah, so it goes to show that...
can't judge,
you
a, book
can't
by
judge
its cover.
A book by its cover, just because the trailers seem very generic. I think they're doing a better job with the trailers, because I've seen a lot of recent trailers for Kenichi, and it's done in a way where it appeals, like, artistically.
Yeah.
Because I know in Kenichi, they use, sometimes they get kind of, they cop out on the animation a bit.
Yeah, kind of the restriction of budget,
like,
I guess.
When it's not an episode dedicated to a really good fight, mm-hmm. the budget sort of, you could tell that the animation suffers. But when, say, he fights Hermit, like, that was a really well animated, nicely choreographed fight. So, they know where to put the money in terms, they know where to allocate the budget on the episodes that matter. So that's why I didn't mind as much, because I expect it already in series like this.
I actually talked a little bit about that in my review. At the same time, even though they kind of copped out in some of the fight scenes, they did a good job regardless. Like, you know how animes, they do the typical stills?
Yeah.
And they kind of pan?
Like Rocky. Where they would punch, and then it would freeze frame.
Yeah, and then they would just kind of move the camera. I mean, they kind of did that for some scenes, but you kind of didn't notice, because it was just set up very, very well.
Yeah,
I mean,
very well, yeah. And again, the humor is really strong in this series. Freaking Kenichi's sidekick, I think, is the best sidekick in anime history. It's like, he's so creepy. What's his name? Nijima.
And he's kind of like an alien demon kind of thing.
Like, literally, he has sharp teeth, a snake.
He has a forked tongue, yeah.
Yeah, a forked tongue and long, long ears.
Kind
like,
of
like an
elf.
Like an
elf-like
elf,
ears.
And it's so hilarious because they play on that joke the whole time. And it's not that he, like, Nijima gets angry that, oh, you're calling me an alien. He, like, feeds off it.
Yeah.
He enjoys being called, like a demon or
an alien or whatever,
alien whatnot, and it's just so hilarious. Like, his, even his walk for season 2's opening, like the way he calls,
oh man,
is
so
funny.
Creepy
and
funny.
The best part, my favorite part, is Kenichi. Favorite part of Kenichi is when he threw the sand at that one guy's face. I forgot who was it. Siegfried?
Oh. Doesn't he do it to Hermit? No.
One of the bad guys.
Main bad guys that confronts Nijima.
Loki, right?
I think it was Hermit. Because Hermit wasn't one of the main.
It's the one who doesn't care about being, like, in sewage and stuff. Like, he has, like, no feelings.
No, it happens twice. Because, Nijima throws dust into Hermit.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, later, dude.
Yeah,
and
that's
he jumps into the river. But
the
second time, there's another bad guy called Siegfried.
Yeah.
And Nijima tries to do the same thing. But Siegfried actually jumps into the river with Nijima.
Into the sewer, and he's just like, what? I'm the only person that enjoys being in the sewer, like, tolerating the smell. And he's like, oh, I don't care. Something like the voice of the American dub is so good, too.
They did a really good job.
We got to comment that as well. Like, Funimation is always really top-notch in terms of their casting. And I think Siegfried's character, I don't know how he got in the zone with, in terms of bringing that character to life. But just imagine someone fighting you while reciting, like, musical notes and just
trying to sing, like, really over the top voice.
It's so funny. So definitely, see, by the amount of laughing we're doing, this you guys haven't even heard Apachai yet, which is like
I kind of think of him as a Pokemon, because he actually just randomly says his name, like, kind of like that.
Yeah, and he has these baby faces that, like, if you're familiar with Fullmetal Alchemist, how Alphonse has his little goofy face when he's embarrassed. Like, the character, one of the masters of Kenichi, Apachai, who specializes in Muay Thai, he has the same face as Alphonse, where it's those two little dots, and he has, like, the innocent face, like, oh, did I do that?
Yeah.
It's so funny. I think a lot of people should give this series a chance. Actually, from what I've seen around the internet, there's a really strong fan base for Kenichi. And I'm personally surprised that this series doesn't have as much merchandise backing as it should.
I know.
Like Bleach and Naruto and all that. Even those, I barely find really good figures or just merchandise in general for those big series. I guess that's not just that's not the thing for shonen titles, but I really wish I could get a figure of, say, Appa-Chai or
Kenichi. A figure. Like, I'd be fine with a figure of all of them, actually. I'd want a
all
figure of all
masters.
Of them. All the Masters. Yeah. And also the Eight Deadly Fists, which are the bad guys,
the main
of course.
Bad guys of the season. So this series doesn't cover the manga. The manga's still ongoing.
The manga's
right?
still ongoing.
So unfortunately, this doesn't have another season.
I'm hoping they'll pick it up eventually, but who knows? For some reason, it just didn't catch on as well as much.
If it's still going on in Japan, I think it still has a shot. Look at full. I mean, it's hard to compare it to a behemoth like Full Metal Alchemist,
or like the Big Three.
Yeah, the Big Three.
Naruto, Bleach, One Piece.
But it deserves another season, from my point of view. And you were telling me you're up to date with the manga.
Yeah,
and
I'm following the manga.
And what's going on is really, really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, they go through the typical tournament arc right after the anime ends.
Yeah, and things do get ridiculous, but it's an anime, so you expect that already.
Yeah, and I guess another big thing that we talked about that we enjoyed is how the growth of Kenichi, it's not like...
Oh, yeah.
It's not like, Bleach or Dragon Ball Z, where you just get a new form, just buff now.
I have a new Super Saiyan mode, so I can start chewing bigger fireballs.
So bigger Kamehameha or Getsuka Tenshu.
Yeah.
And one trick ponies, it's just,
they
put a mask
bigger,
on or something.
A bigger version of their original technique, basically.
The thing about Kenichi is that he has, I think, four or five masters, and
They each have a discipline.
They all specialize in different disciplines. So you actually see him string combos of each of his master's moves into like a special attack.
Yeah, so he mixes kung fu with Muay Thai, with karate.
And then like judo.
With judo. So it's really cool. Even though I'm not sure that you could apply that into a real fight, just going back to our whole formula thing, you could already predict that he's getting taught by these different masters. He's going to be able to incorporate all these disciplines into one sort of machine and be able to crank out these magnificent combos, which will catch his enemies off guard because they're thinking, oh, this guy's using Muay Thai, so I'm going to defend a guy with anti-Muay Thai techniques, but instead he throws him off with Kung Fu and all the other disciplines that he's applied. And it's cool because the training arcs, they try to focus on sort of an aspect that Kenichi needs to work on, whether it be speed or strength.
And they're not boring. It's not like you're watching Goku in King Kai's place.
What really saves this series is the comedy, because during those training arcs, there's a lot of other things going on, like Kenichi's sister visits sometimes, which is funny. And I love the dad's, every time he summons his rifle.
Yeah, Sebastian. Sebastian names his guns.
Even the family is funny in Kenichi. You rarely see them towards the middle of the series, but they still reference, and they're not forgotten. So this series is really strong in terms of just story.
It's got a little bit of everything. And
It does. If you like shonen series, this is a good, really great shonen series to follow. It's not breaking any boundaries in terms of it's going to have, I don't know, it's not Neon Genesis Evangelion status where it's going to make you think about your life.
Yeah.
But it's one of those series where you could watch, have fun with it, because they know what they're doing. They're trying to appeal to an audience that just likes guys beating up each other. And the typical shonen formula of a guy trying to get stronger to protect the people that he cares about. So, typical underdog story that's well done. And, definitely check out Kenichi.
Yep.
So, that's cool. So, you just finished that up?
Yeah, I finally finished it. Like I said, check out my review. I have a little bit more to say.
Yeah, I think you made, a pros and cons list, too.
Yeah, and I guess the only con about it, the main con is it may be a turnoff for people who don't like ecchi. Because
it's weird because it doesn't seem that way at first.
Yeah, it doesn't seem
ecchi at
all.
The proportions of the women in the series is really off.
Yeah, like Miu. She's
top heavy. her nickname is
Dairy Cow. Dairy Cow. Dairy Cow. I didn't mind too much that her Well, I mean, I guess at first it bugged me, but they kind of play jokes on it. They know it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so they joke about it, which is funny. They don't just play it off like, oh, this is all normal high school women have size D cups.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's not really fan service heavy, I think. I don't think there's any, like, panty shots or anything.
Well,
it's just
later on, I guess you can argue.
I think it's just the proportions of the girls that is the fan service.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Yeah. So,
check it out.
Yeah. Very good series, and I guess that's all we have in terms of what we're watching now, so we're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we're back, we'll start our Antarctic treaty. Alright, so last week we introduced this segment titled the Antarctic Treaty, and basically John and I go ahead and recommend one another a series to watch, and we figure out whether or not we want to pursue that series. So these are anime, or it could maybe venture out to manga. These are titles that we don't normally watch or read.
You're totally opposed at the normal circumstances, but yeah.
Yeah, we established in our previous podcast, we have our own tastes, even though they're quite similar. There are times that John and I sort of diverge. So I went ahead and watched the first 5 episodes of Initial D, and this is my take on the series. It wasn't that bad. I thought it was going to have more of the ugly art. It kind of grew on me, I guess, in a weird way.
Yeah, it's kind of its own style.
From what I've seen of Initial D, I've seen a lot of the manga more than the anime counterpart, and the manga uses a lot of like shading, and just the characters look like it's like these sharp designs, and it just was really unappealing to me. But the anime counterpart wasn't that bad. The CG cars are what Initial D is known for, and I actually kind of got into the story. I haven't started rooting for Takumi yet. So my take on it is, if you haven't seen Initial D, basically it's this guy named Takumi, and he delivers tofu for his dad in the morning. So he sort of gets into the mix of the whole streetcar racing scene through his friend, his sidekick Itsuki, and his coworker Ikitani. They all work at a gas station. So this one night, they get challenged by this rival gang.
I don't know, I guess let's just say crew, but not really.
Yeah, rival crew, not gangs. These guys seem pretty legitimate. They, as of now, it doesn't seem like they're going to get into big fights or like physical fights, and it's more of like a pride issue. So Takumi gets forced into racing for his friends, just so that he could go out on a date with one of his classmates, which is kind of funny. The thing that I liked about it is it's a nice underdog story. So far, Takumi doesn't like racing. I kind of like the whole person who's not into the craft, but then he develops a sort of love for it. By the end of the 5th episode, he already started stating that he started having this nice feeling in terms of racing that
he's starting to like it, but you can really tell. Yeah.
So I kind of dig that. What I didn't like was that he just doesn't care at this moment. I know he'll gradually like racing, you told me. It's just like kind of like in Gundam where there's the ace pilot, but he's sort of thrown into the gist of war. It's like this genius guy with this awesome technique at driving thrown into this world of street racing, and whether or not he starts to like it,
yeah,
I need to continue the series. So I, more or less, I like those characters and I hate those characters because I get annoyed that he doesn't care. Like he typically goes, oh, you know, I do this every day. This isn't that big of a deal for
me. Yeah, well, it's kind of a really big deal that he doesn't like it because, yeah, like you said, he's been forced to drive every morning. Like, I don't know, I guess let's just say around 4 a.m.
It reminded me a lot of the main character from Bamboo Blade. So with her, she had to practice. What did they do again?
I'm running a blank.
Yeah, I'm running a blank, but basically,
Kendo.
There you go.
Yeah.
She had to practice Kendo. Her father taught her Kendo because she was raised that way, and she just thought of it nothing more than, oh, I'm just doing this because my dad's telling me.
It was a chore. I mean, she never appreciated it until she, you know, started to make friends through Kendo.
So, same thing with, I'm seeing a parallel with Initial D where this guy could start seeing the fun in racing, even though right now it just seems like a hassle, a chore, a means to an end in terms of pleasing his father, just, you know, because his dad's the one that told him to race. So it wasn't that bad. I thought I was going to hate it more. What was funny is that I didn't know how to put it on the Japanese audio, and I was listening to the awesome English dub. So they're like saying, oh man, we got to drop 10 G's for this 8.6, and I was just cracking up. Even the opening was like a hardcore rap song, which was really funny. And when you put it back to the Japanese, the opening is actually just a techno song. And I have to comment on the ending song. I thought it was really funny, too, that it showed sort of stills of cars while they were playing the music video, I suppose, for the song. And they had the guy who was doing the male vocals in this weird sort of technocolor, like, outfit. It looks really goofy and funny. I was cracking.
I have to rewatch that.
I didn't really skip the endings when I was watching Initial D. The songs are pretty catchy. I'm not much of a techno guy, but for some whatever reason, it suits the show, and it has a good build up in terms of the way they use the music, and the CG cars didn't really annoy me.
They get a lot better too as the
As the series progresses. Seasons.
And so does the music, actually.
What I'm curious about is that he had an edge over this person because he knew the layout of the mountain. So as they progress through the series, what I'm worried about is if whether or not they're going to reuse the same mechanics for Takumi. I'm not, like I said, I'm not really a car guy and a racing person. And just by those standards alone, I should hate the series, but it wasn't that bad. I did get lost a little bit on the gearhead jargon, all the talk about cars and the manufacturers and whatnot, but
it didn't really go past my head.
It's kind of like I watch Big Bang Theory, and they have a lot of physics jargon, but I still love the show, regardless of whether or not I understand what they're saying. So I've learned to appreciate shows where they focus on one thing, but they're able to broaden the story and have people who aren't used to whatever they're trying to talk about, whether it be cars, physics, or singing, whatnot.
You
can still enjoy the series. So, Initial D, I'll probably still continue watching it, just so long as you just pass me the episodes. It wasn't that bad. It follows sort of the typical sports manga formula, but I know that since they're doing street racing, I'm assuming a lot of this stuff is illegal, and I'm wondering whether or not they get in trouble with the law later on. That's another question, whether or not they have to deal with the police or maybe another, some sort of detective agency. I'm not sure, but these are non-sanctioned races, and I like the detail they put into when they were setting up that first race where they had guys actually talking about watching out for oncoming traffic, and they didn't forget about those little minor details, trying to really keep this seated in reality. And that was cool. I like the little trick that Takumi used against that first brother, the Rotary Brothers.
Yeah.
So that first guy, I think his name's Ryusuke.
That's his last name. I'm trying to...
Takahashi?
It's something like that.
Yeah.
I'm running a blank.
So it's Ryusuke. That's the first guy he fights or races with. And he uses this neat little trick that they have to explain how Takumi was able to make such a sharp turn at a full speed. And I figured it was cool because the way it was done, I kind of figured that's what he was going to do before they explained it, which was kind of like a first in terms of my anime viewing. Sometimes they do, like when I watch Case Closed, I try to figure out who the culprit is while they're trying to solve the mystery. And it's just sometimes the solution is so out there that you can't figure it out without Shinichi or Jimmy, whichever version you're seeing, explaining it to you. And it's just so insane. But with this one, I guess what he did, and I was right. He used the rain gutter, or just the side of the road, as sort of a rail for the car to turn with, which was pretty cool. So I was scared as to whether he'll be a one-trick pony, or he'll go through some training with maybe his dad, or whatnot. But
that's actually one of the cool things about the series, because he does use the same tricks, but at the same time, he learns new ones, and every fight, I guess you can say, or race, they kind of hint at a new technique. So they kind of keep you guessing, and they keep you interested, like, that way.
Do they prep it up so that he practices on a course? Because I noticed that he needs to visualize the road, sort of. He needs to be comfortable with the racetrack prior to racing.
Well, his practicing is basically on his delivery nights. Or delivery in the mornings.
Okay.
That's why he's sick of it. He's been doing it every day for, I think they said, since he was like around 13.
Well, they use that as sort of an excuse. Each time he races someone, he'll go, I deliver to this person on Tuesdays, every Tuesday. And then, because they're not going to only be on that mountain pass, I'm sure. They're going to move on to different courses. Maybe perhaps they'll actually race in the city. That would be kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, it's not really a spoiler, but yeah, they'll definitely move on. But I guess he kind of transfers his skills, in a sense, to other racetracks. But it's not perfect because he doesn't know the tracks as well.
Yeah, and a lot of the times he kind of reminded me of Azuma from Yakitate, Japan, where he's not aware of, because he's not really into it in terms of he knows all like what the nicknames for cars are or the proper way to explain what a drift is. In Yakitate, Japan, Azuma is this genius baker that bakes bread, and he has all these techniques, and when people ask him, how do you come up with these techniques, how do you know, and he just goes, I figured I like eating bread this way, or he has some absurd excuse, like some random excuse. Well, it's random, but you won't get too annoyed by it because he's not the type to go and read books about bread. So I'm thinking about Takumi, where he's not the type where he's going to ask all his friends, how do I drift? How do I do this? Or he's going to ask his dad, what's under the hood of my car? What's this and that? Where's the engine? So he's just passively learning all this stuff through experience, so to speak. So he has that natural gift he has that natural technique. It's just he doesn't know the proper terminology for everything. And
yeah.
I already assumed that one guy that figured out the trick to Takumi, he's going to be our go-to guy in terms of, this is how he did this trick. That one guy from, I think, he was called the Moon Boys or whatever.
Oh, well, they were brothers. He was
in that black... He was in a black car. He was in a black car.
Night Kids?
Yeah, the Night Kids.
Well, that's his quote-unquote crew,
there
Night
you
Kids.
Go. So that guy was explaining all the tricks that that Takumi was doing. And it was pretty funny because they have that in iShield 21, and I think most sports manga always have to have that commentator, that person that's going to be explaining all of the crazy stuff that's going on, because not everyone's going to pick up on these little things that's happening in the series.
Yeah.
So definitely I'll keep watching initially. It wasn't that bad. I'm not super into it. I'm kind of waiting for that moment where Takumi loses. I hope he does.
Mm-hmm.
So that he'll get a wake-up call like, I need to get better. And he actually starts enjoying it. Because when I read iShield 21, and I keep making these comparisons, but they seem a little similar.
Yeah.
When Senna lost, the main character lost, their whole team lost against the best team in their area, they were devastated because they got stomped on, basically. They scored one goal against them, so it wasn't that bad, but the other team scored like 6 or 7 touchdowns, and they were just devastated by it, and that made them work even harder, and that's when I started really enjoying the series, because I thought they were just going to keep winning and winning and winning. But
yeah, there always has to be that hurdle.
There has to be that hurdle. And I also hope that he gets a good rival, too. So...
Oh, he does. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm pretty sure Itsuki is not going to be his rival.
Oh, man, he's just the best friend that's a fail.
Yeah, he's the joke character. And Ikitane, their senpai, the person that got them into racing, I'm sure he doesn't become a rival as well, because he's already...
He already exceeded their skills.
He's already passed them. I'm thinking maybe along the lines of one of the brothers might be a good rival. I hope a rival gets introduced early, so there's someone for that character to pursue and grow with. And I'm looking forward to it, so just start handing me more episodes of Initial D. I'll probably finish at least the first season. First stage.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's a pass. In terms of Antarctic Treaty, I will hold my nuclear devices against Initial D. I will not nuke it.
Okay, Jim and I will take a little break, and when we come back, I'll give my take on Strike Witches. Alright, so last week, Jim gave me Strike Witches to watch for Antarctic Treaty, and I guess I'll just go through a little rundown of the synopsis. So, the main character of the series is Yoshika Miyafuji, and she's a typical, I guess, klutzy, innocent girl.
I also think she's in junior high as well, so
yeah.
She's fairly young.
So, for junior high, would that be, what's the equivalent for our grades, I guess?
Japan has 3 years of high school.
Yeah, I know that, but junior high...
Has 2 years, I think, so...
I don't know, I guess I get confused sometimes.
Yeah, I think their years are 8 and 9, uh-huh. And then in high school they're 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
I know it's 3 years in high school, though, for sure.
Something like that. Oh, well, anyway, so, yeah, the typical innocent, klutzy, junior high girl.
Yeah. Of course.
And she just happens to have magical powers. It kind of runs in her family.
Yeah.
She has the ability to heal, but
to heal people.
But it's not as developed yet. She can't really control it. So one day, she's traveling with her friend on some kind of a trailer.
Yeah, on the back of some
kind
of truck.
Yeah, a truck, and the truck goes out of control, and they get kind of tossed around, and her friend gets hurt. She tries her best to heal the friend, but she just can't control her powers yet, of course. I mean, it'd be kind of boring if she was, perfect,
yeah,
and, what's the point?
Like,
yeah,
like Takumi says, where I heal people every day. This is something new to me.
Yeah, so she gets knocked out of, I believe, she gets unconscious because she can't control her powers.
Yeah, she gets knocked
out. But she wakes up in her
mom's clinic,
and she gets, her friend gets saved. But at the same time, during the accident,
she gets scouted by a
major in the army, Mio, and she sees how powerful Yoshika is.
Yeah, so she tries to recruit her to join the 501st Brigade, the Strike Witches.
Yeah, and I was kind of wondering about that. Like, do you think, it's 501st, do you think there's actually 500 other Strike Witches teams?
That is a weird topic as well. I'm not sure. Yeah. I thought you could maybe help me out with that, because maybe they picked up some sort of... Maybe this could be a joke in terms of the numbering of brigades in the army.
Yeah.
Like the 1st or 2nd Brigade Battalion or Frontal Assault. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would think there's 500 other teams,
Witches.
I guess you can say. So I wasn't too sure. I just assumed there was, 500 other teams somewhere.
What I'm thinking of is they had 500 brigades trying to battle the Miroi, and they all failed, and the 501st is the first time that they actually used these women or girls to combat the aliens and succeeded. So, thus, 501st.
Let's see. Alright, so I guess back to the plot. So... the Major Mio basically tries to recruit Yoshika. Keep forgetting her name.
Yeah.
Yoshika. But the thing is, Yoshika doesn't want to be involved in the war because, the whole I don't want to fight, I don't want to kill kind of thing, violence. No, it's understandable. You don't want to be in that position.
Yeah, you don't want to kill anybody.
Yeah, and life or death. It's kind of scary, obviously. Anybody would be scared. But eventually, she gets some kind of mysterious letter from her dad. It's kind of... Do you remember what it was? Like,
I'm not sure, but her dad's the one that developed the strike
units. Yeah, the strike units.
So these are the...
And the strike units are kind of like...
The jetpacks.
Jetpack. Yeah, imagine jetpacks. Yeah, jets on the girl's legs.
And that's how they are able to fly and combat the aliens.
Yeah.
So the dad's the one that developed them, and she's been searching for her dad all this time.
Yeah, her father mysteriously disappeared.
So it's one of those where one of those stories where since she has a lead, which is in the army, she's going to join the army in hopes of finding a connection to her father because... She misses her father. It's been a while since I've watched it. I forgot whether or not she's seen her. Oh, she has seen her father.
Like
right?
in the past.
In the past, when she was just
probably
like
small,
4 or 5.
Yeah.
And then the dad had to go away
to
work in the army.
Yeah, because the Nuroi are they're kind of like just some random alien. I guess if you can imagine Evangelion angels, like sort of look like that at the moment.
Yeah, they have. Very unique designs. It's not like Mars Attacks aliens. It's just these
random polygon.
Yeah, these aliens are. They have the shapes of planes and aircrafts. If I remember right, they sort of resemble some sort of.
Sort of, yeah. I don't know. For the most part, it's like I guess a Star Fox. Imagine SNES and Star Fox.
Imagine the Super Nintendo Star Fox, and they're just random
they just look like that.
Of the enemies that you fight in Star Fox.
Yeah.
So, no Androsia.
Okay, so basically, she gets recruited because she's trying to solve the mystery of why this father disappeared. She's kind of wondering if he's still alive or not. I don't know at this point. I have no idea.
Yeah.
So she gets recruited. So, well, yeah, that's the basic synopsis.
Yeah,
I won't go too much further
into
it. Yeah,
from there, it's just, okay, it follows a formula in the beginning where they have interactions with one another, all the girls of the unit, and then a Nuroi attacks, and they destroy the Nuroi, and there's the aftermath where it's, oh, hooray, we won.
Yeah.
And each episode tries, or each little... Once two episodes try to focus on a different girl so that you get to know each person in the brigade.
Yeah, there's about, like, what, 6 main ones? Something like that, but there's a lot more.
There's
but
a lot.
It's just,
I'm certain, each girl at least gets her own episode in terms of they flesh out a little bit of her backstory and just why she's in the brigade.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you probably haven't gotten into... I think the American girl yet, right? I forgot her name, but she's the
Lynette,
one.
I believe. No, oh.
No. Lynette's from England.
Oh, yeah, she is. Britannia.
Yeah, Britannia. So, they renamed a lot of all the countries.
Yeah.
So she's the one with the biggest boobs. That's the American one.
Of course. Of course she is. Yeah.
She has that cat girl, the one that that looks kind of like a cat that she follows her around all the time. I forgot her name too, but she has kind of a cool episode.
Okay.
She gets. Oh, that's a traditional beach episode, actually.
Of course. Playing on American stereotypes.
In the second disc, I think, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Yeah, so did you like it?
Well,
was it
I guess.
Okay.
I guess I'll just start off with what I didn't like. And it's kind of obvious the fan service is a real hit or miss, and for me, it was just dumb. I didn't really see any point to the whole no pants thing. I mean, there really isn't any point in fan service for the most part. Just, kind of like the perverted thing. I don't know, I think it's funny sometimes, but for me, it's just...
It just wasn't working for you.
Yeah, there's so many times, like, we talked about it before, I just kind of wanted to drop pants on them.
Yeah.
The character designs are really, really good.
Yeah,
well drawn, but they just don't have pants, and it just bugged me the whole time.
Yeah, if they had, like, figures where they had pants on, I would actually buy them. I would assume if they release, like, Gashapon, which are those little figures that people collect, that you would, spend $5 or $6 for one and try to attempt to collect the whole set. If they had a Gashapon set of all the girls of Strike Witches, I bet the rare one would be the one with pants on. Which would be kind of ironic, because normally the rare ones are the more racier ones in those sets. So, for me, yeah, when I watch the series, I imagine, like, Lillianette with a skirt on, because she wears sort of, like Catholic schoolgirl. Yeah, she wears high stockings, so I was thinking, like, a plaid skirt on her.
And it would look good.
Yeah, and Yoshiko would just wear the standard sailor suit skirt.
Yeah,
she wears the typical uniform that you see in a lot of anime.
Generic navy guy.
Yeah, the sailor uniform that junior high and high school girls tend to wear in Japan, not just anime, but in Japan in general. The sailor uniforms. So it's not too bad, was it? Was the story okay? If you took away the fan service, is the story like
the story okay terrible? So far? I mean. It reminded me about Gundam, because how Amuro's dad was really involved with the Gundam, designing the Gundam. If I remember right, he was the main engineer
for the
Gundam. Yeah, and that's why Amuro kind of inherited his dad's like technological know-how. That's why he was able to pilot the Gundam like immediately.
Yeah, his
it wasn't perfect, but he could read the instructions and do it and perform.
Yeah, he gets used to it and he knows how to operate the whole system. With Yoshiko, though, she seems her heart's in the right place. Like, I like her first battle with the Niroi in terms of she helped Lillianette get out of her shell. So she was having a tough time trying to just have the right mindset in battle. And even though Yoshiko sucks at battle, she's good at morale, like morale boosting.
Well, that's the good thing about their character is it's generic, but at the same time, it's that character that wants to help everybody out for everybody's benefit.
Yeah, she's not like the ace pilot that everybody goes, oh my gosh, she could destroy these Niroi with one bullet.
Yeah.
She's more of like, this is the person that we need to get us motivated to fight these things, because some of us don't want to fight it. Others, we have our own agendas to be on this squad.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really focused on the mission of destroying these things that are invading Earth. So, in that sense, she makes a good main character. And I like it. I enjoyed this series a lot more just because she wasn't that ace pilot that is sort of prevalent. Like, just like Takumi, how he was naturally good at driving, even though he didn't have a knack, or he doesn't like driving right now when I was watching initially. So in Strike Witches, this girl, Yoshika, the main character, she doesn't like war, but in order to pursue that lead of her father, she's going to go ahead and try to do her best to fit in with this brigade, and their main task is to destroy these aliens, and even though she doesn't like doing it, she'll do her best to attempt to combat these things.
Yeah, and again, it's because she wants to help everybody out, do her best that sense.
At times, I laughed too at the fan service, because the camera had a way of always being like,
was always on their butt.
On an angle where you could see the character, one character's butt, and you would see the other character talking to them face to face, sort of like a ground view looking up, kind of like a gnome looking up at someone. So it was pretty hilarious. I laughed, and then I got over it because it just kept going on, and I was thinking to myself, oh, if I keep laughing, I'm just going to start hating this series. So I tried watching it, not seriously, but just trying to see if there's really content in there. And I found that there was.
Yeah. Oh, there's definitely content. I'm still not over the whole fan service thing.
Yeah.
Another big thing that bugs me is the furry aspect of it.
Oh, yeah.
There is no reason to put tails in ears.
It's kind of a trend now with anime. It's weird. Because even K-On! Does it with Azusa. Putting cat ears on her.
It's just a fetish that I would never get into. It's just not for me.
I know there's a specific term for this. Too bad I feel bad for not writing it down, but there's a specific term, because it's not really furry. It's not that these girls are, you know, they have the faces of a mouse, but they have the body of a girl, sort of thing.
No, but
like Bugs Bunny status.
Furry encompasses that, though. Just just having
even
like a tail on.
Ears.
Yeah, a weird thing, because I actually used to work with a furry at.
Oh really?
At my computer lab. In college, he would just randomly have a tail on.
That's random.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I mean, I try not to judge, but honestly,
that guy was
pretty weird. Mm-hmm. Like, he was cool, like, I didn't mind talking to him, but yeah, that was just weird.
I guess that's just his thing, and, you know, you were cool enough to accept him for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's his thing, but it's just something, like, to always be like, what the hell?
So in this, well, at least they go furry when their magic is on, so that's basically it.
But they're fighting a big... Well, I mean, half the time they're
fighting. Yeah, half the time they're fighting. And anytime they use any spells or shields, they have to get into furry mode.
I guess it wouldn't have bugged me as much if they could at least try to explain why they grow ears. I mean, I know it's because they're using their magical powers, but, why still? I mean, it's just there.
Each girl has a different animal. It's not all cats, I think.
Yeah.
Is a cat. The American girl is a rabbit. I think Mio is a wolf.
Let me see. I think it says here Doberman. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Wolf is the Mina character.
Yeah.
And a bunch of random cats. And mainly cats, dogs, wolves. Well, wolves can kind of apply it to dogs.
To dogs, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's the rabbit as well. Maybe a mouse.
Yeah. But overall, those were the two big misses for me. I mean, like I said, I like the story so far. It's... I like how she's the mystery of like where's her dad? I like that aspect of it. And right now is for me, we didn't watch the first four episodes, so it's kind of like they're still trying to accept her, so they're going through that typical phase.
Good. Yeah.
Like
she has to win over.
Over everybody.
Yeah, it's that one anime where she has to win over everybody.
And of course, like that one character that's in love with
Kirie.
Purine or something like that, and she's in love with Mio, the person who recruited her.
So
yeah.
Times, but that's just her character, so I got over it.
Yeah, and then the fourth episode, she started to accept Yoshika because they had that tough fight with one of the Nuroi, and they kind of worked together. So she's starting to get accepted by the members. Yeah,
Purine warms up on you. It's nice that her personality still sort of remains the same the whole series. But
that's just her archetype.
She does grow, is nice.
I mean, there always has to be conflict. Conflict is what makes anime or any story interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
If everybody just got along, I mean, what's the point? It'd be boring. Okay, so yeah, those are the misses. I guess my last miss is, I think they look awkward when they're flying. Like, I think the first scene was six of the witches in formation, kind of like a V formation. I was already laughing, and this is like the first 5 seconds of the anime. Like, I'm like, it just looked ridiculous. It's because, I don't know.
They have some cool flight sequences, but yeah, it does get a little weird just because how are these girls sort of maintaining this altitude and this stiffness flying like in the air like that?
It was kind of funny because one of the episodes when Yoshika learned how to fly the first time, she's like, pull up, and then
breaks the thing. I forgot.
Yeah.
She just crash lands.
She gets up in the air, and actually, this is the first thing that made me laugh. She was kind of spinning in the air, and Mio was like, oh, nice to see you join me or whatever, that kind of typical thing. You just see her... in the background, spinning out of control.
Oh, yeah, that she couldn't control it.
So, yeah, that was one of my favorite parts in the series so far, just random comedy like that.
Yeah, she's still... she retains that sort of bumblingness throughout the series, which is nice, but from my perspective, she did mature a bit towards the end, so you could look forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, as expected. Of course, they're going to mature eventually.
Yeah, definitely.
And...
So, are you going to finish watching Strike Witches, or are you going to nuclear?
Nuclear launch. No. I'm most likely gonna finish the whole series. Yeah, I kind of like. I don't like leaving things
unfinished.
Unfinished. So I'm definitely going to finish it. Because the story, I mean, I kind of want to know. I'm hoping at least that they finish what happened with her dad, but I kind of doubt it. Because there is a season two.
Yeah,
there is
a season two.
So I'm hoping they do something with her dad, but I'll just have to wait and see. And yeah, at the same time, I feel like since they still have to introduce every character, that it's going to be a while before they can even touch the main arc.
It's like tap into the real story.
Yeah, it's like, what? Why are they doing it right here?
I think that's
thing.
One of the flaws to the series, too. They have so many characters, it's even difficult for me and you to remember everyone's name.
Yeah, I'm already having trouble with the first two characters. Yeah. Well, I mean, part of the reason because it's Japanese names, and it's hard for them to flow off the tip of your tongue.
Yeah, these names, I'm assuming they're supposed to, with a lot of Japanese names in manga and in anime,
it actually means
the creators associate the name, with something that the readers can akin the character to. So, like, with Naruto, his name is, like, an ingredient they use in ramen, and Naruto loves eating ramen, so that'll help you remember it.
Yeah, and, like, I guess random character Mirai in Gundam, her name actually means future.
Oh!
So that actually, for some reason, that I just memorized it like that.
Not like
I thought
Fravo,
it was cool.
Where it's just random.
Well, Fravo is just random, and so you memorize it that way, because it's really unique.
It makes no sense.
Fravo. I don't know, and I kind of wonder if it has, like, a German
origin to it.
That's what it sounds to me, German.
Did you like the World War II aspect of this series? Were you digging it at all?
I want to like it, but I felt it was a weird transition. What was the beginning? They skipped World War II and it became this world, right? Because of the Nuroi?
Yeah, this is an alternative timeline, so to speak. Just think of this as an alternative reality.
Okay, but then, so it broke off from World War II on, but then what happened to World War I? They're like strike witches fighting each other, I wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not really meant to
delve deeper into it.
But
it makes
you wonder.
Yeah, they just use these World War II some of the technology, a play on words with a couple of the names of the characters. They just use that as a base, I'm assuming, and didn't dig deeper into it. But is the authenticity of the weapons, is that any good?
I would have to look into the actual models, the weapons. I mean, at the moment they just look like
big guns.
They looked at a weapon and they changed it up. I don't know if you can actually call it accurate.
What about the strike units, the little booster packs that the girls use? Do they look like pieces from actual aircrafts from World War II models that you could recognize that you've seen? I think I recognize a couple, like Lillianettes.
Maybe the color scheme, but like if we're talking about the actual, the mechanics of it, it reminds me of the front of a plane.
Oh, okay.
Like a propeller plane. Because it does have propeller, they're not really jets.
Yeah, they propel really fast, you just don't see it, I guess, to save on the animation, it would be tough to
always draw that. I mean, you see it sometimes during the close-ups.
Yeah, but
it's really hard to tell. I mean, it's really, really loosely based. If anything,
it's just inspired
if
by
at all.
Inspired
yeah.
By. They just say, hey, let's make a World War II alternate reality
with
aliens and girls with no pants. And I'm sure people will love that.
And then, bam, they're actually making a lot of money.
Apparently, they made a lot of money off this. And since it got greenlit for season two, it made enough money for another season.
Yep.
So you'll finish the series. It's not too bad, but the fan service is just blah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying my best to forget about it and just focus on the story. But when every other scene is kind of in your face, here's their crotch,
here's
their butt,
shot,
and I'm gonna wake up naked.
Yeah. Let's go to the shower.
Oh yeah,
Talk strategy there.
Talk strategy in the shower, and of course, be naked. Well, I mean, obviously, but like actually showing us topless kind of thing.
I'm thinking in my head they're a little more loose in terms of I'm trying to think in terms of the girls where they don't have to worry about any males intruding in their academy because they're based on an island.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any. Maybe there's a couple of male officers, but you rarely
see
them. They're just guys in a control room. So the girls are free to sort of be themselves. And if they want to sleep naked, they can sleep naked. They don't got to worry about a random bumbling guy walking into their room and seeing them naked. I think that's why they're a little more laxed with the way they are, just in terms of...
Yeah, I mean, you can see it that way, but at the same
time...
Yeah,
I'm trying to justify
you're
the
You're trying too hard to justify
yeah,
but fan service is fan service.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I already recognize this as a fan service heavy title, but I'm just trying to look at it at another point of view. But, yeah, it's... I'm not going to try to justify the extreme crotch shots.
it's there to please the fans.
But it wasn't that bad for me.
I mean, I don't mind fan service when it's used as a comedic device.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like an awkward situation. Like,
see, I thought this show would do better if they did have pants, because they're in the air and their skirts are going to be blowing in the wind. So, I mean, that's panty shot paradise for all those Japanese guys and for us watching it.
That's true. And I think I'd be a little bit less annoyed at
that. I would laugh because there's a lot of animes where I see the male characters like flipping up the girl's skirts. But in this series, if they added skirts to all the characters, then it would just be funny because the propellers would blow wind into their skirts and we'd literally see their panties the whole time while they're in the air. And there's your permanent fan service right there.
Yeah, that would work better.
Oh, well.
Oh, that's that.
That strike, which is for you. No pants.
No pants.
So, yeah, continue watching it. It gets a little better. It's not bad.
Yep, I'll definitely continue watching it. Alright, so that's it for this week's episode of Bride Slap. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Check out Kenichi. Both Jim and I recommend it. It's a great series. Next week, we'll try to change things up a little bit. Instead of our usual Arctic Treaty, we will review Gundam Unicorn.
And also, please subscribe to us. We are located on iTunes. Go ahead and type Bride Slap on your iTunes store search bar. And we also have a blog, so you can go ahead and visit that at www.brightslap.blogger.com. So we will have all our updates there. You can look forward to any new shows or any new reviews that we do as well, because we frequently post on that blog site. So feel free to leave us a review.